Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to eighth time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Tuesday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us. We are with you till 10 a.m. this morning, and, man, we got a lot to get to. We still got leftovers from the win over the Chargers. We've got the Chiefs to look ahead to. The Rockets with a big comeback last night against the Grizzlies, and the playoffs are set now. The Monday Night Football game is in the books, and Seth, we've got our eight squads, and the Texans are one of them, and this is a fun time to be alive. How
and
are
the
you?
The Texans will be, everybody get ready for a change in your routine, 3:30 p.m. on Saturday.
We got them right where we want them, man.
Texans will play.
It's basically a home game for the Texans because they're playing at 3:30 on Saturday.
That is, it is. Yeah, Kansas City's used to playing at night, and this will be an afternoon game with the sun shining and everything.
They're going to be so tired, yeah, because they don't get to sleep in that day.
Hey, better, if I find out a single report that they've bought extra gunpowder in Kansas City because they ran out of gunpowder the last time the Texans played a playoff game in Kansas City because they were firing their damn cannon off so much, I'm going to flip the hell out.
You know what I've been a little surprised by myself over the last, call it, what's today, Tuesday? 48 hours is about how long we've known they're going to go to Kansas City. Yeah. I've had no PTSD over that 2019 season playoff game.
Or various other, you know, disappointments versus Kansas City in the past.
Yeah.
In the playoffs.
It's a new group, man.
Yeah, I don't worry about that. Well, I think defensively especially. That was a rough year for the defense that year to begin with. And, you know, it all very much came to a head in the playoffs. I think it's probably not to diminish Pat Mahomes and what the offense, those guys can do. I feel a lot better about this defense.
The team should have zero PTSD. There's only four guys left from that team. And two of them are John Weeks and Kymie Fairbairn. You know, they're Laremy and Titus are the only, to my knowledge, the only, like, offensive or defensive players that played in that game. I'm talking purely as a fan. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, purely emotionally, I've been pleased with myself that I've not let my brain go to, like, oh, my God, they're going back to the place where... ... So
right.
Yeah.
Right. I guess I don't know, PTSD or past trauma or just a simple knowledge of history is all right. Now this is the Chiefs who like replay last year's script of all right, they don't look like the same team during the regular season, and then you know that when you get to the playoffs it's a whole different deal.
Yeah.
And then you add on to it that the Chiefs, starting with the Texans game, really seem to have just turned it up a notch towards the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And all of their younger receivers like Xavier Worthy and everybody else just started to fire on all cylinders. They had more lopsided scores. Like, it just looked like what you would expect out of a three-time Super Bowl champion.
Yeah, I was more confident probably in the Texans beating the Chargers, but I was more nervous about it. I was just more nervous about that game because we've not seen a version of the Texans that felt like they could make a deep playoff run. I think in that Chargers game, we saw a version of the Texans. Now, I think it sounds weird because they won by 20, but I think they made a lot of mistakes in that game, the Texans did. Like, I don't know if that version of the defense is good enough to beat the Chiefs, like, but overall, like, they committed a lot of penalties. You can't fumble the ball on the first possessions of each half, I think, in Kansas City and expect to win. You know, like, there's a lot of stuff they need to clean up, I think.
Well, and even, you know, something happened in that Kansas City game when CJ took that sack in the fourth quarter when they were down in field goal range. That like CJ did it again the other night, you know, and it's, yes, there was bad pass protection, but in the fourth quarter with a lead, you know, CJ took a, he took a sack that he should, he could have gotten rid of the ball on, and it was,
well, it turned second and one into third and nine. Like, he gets rid of the ball, you're still third and one at the four.
Right.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right, right. Oh yeah, you were furious. Yes. Everybody else is looking at you like, hey, why is Sean so angry? I mean, like, this, they've pretty much got this game in hand. You're upset.
Yeah, I've rooted for enough teams that have coughed up games like that in the past. Oh, I was upset. I was upset just because it was stupid. They were running the football at that point really well in the second half, and it was second and one on the four. And Bobby did the same thing that he did in that Titans game when they were running the ball, and he had the ball on the 1-inch line, and he threw it on third and fourth and goal. Like, you know, don't get fancy, man.
I don't. That one didn't bother me as much because the Texans weren't actually running the ball all that well in the Titans game, down in the goal line in the red area and everything. Like, they just
Davis Mills,
the goal line was still getting beat.
Sacrificed his neck to get down there to that 1-inch line. Davis Mills.
Yeah.
Sacrifice his neck.
Right. Remember the good runs on the in the goal line area in that game where Joe Mixon bouncing outside an unblocked defender for 10 yards and then Davis Mills running. But when running backs tried to run down near the goal line, they generally got stuffed in the backfield.
All right. Well, I don't want to adjudicate the Titans game again. That's my bad for bringing it up. The Monday Night Football game last night. So what do you think happens with Sam Darnold now? Sam Darnold was trash again last night.
I think you send him back to the pumpkin factory.
He was.
I think you're like, see if you can, you know, turn him into pumpkin pie or something.
Do you think he's starting for a team next year? For those who missed it, the Rams destroyed the Vikings last night, 27-9. Sam Darnold got sacked 9 times. He looked just as bad as he did in that gotta have it game against the Lions a week ago. And there'd been a lot of talk about Sam Darnold being back with the Vikings again next season, you know, like on the franchise tag or something like that. I tweeted last night during the game, I'm like, well, J.J. McCarthy, the job is yours officially now.
I think a little bit almost just like the same thing that Gary Kubiak, the issue he had sometimes, is that maybe Kevin O'Connell is too good at getting the most out of quarterbacks. Just like Gary Kubiak was really good at getting the absolute most out of Matt Schaub, especially when he's paired up with Andre Johnson, that, man, Sam Darnold with Justin Jefferson, they got a lot out of him. And they also have a really good defense on the other side of the ball. But these last couple of games, he's just hanging onto the ball forever, you know, turning down and missing opportunities. These were a couple of really bad games for Sam Darnold in crunch time.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, man, but you also look at it and, all right, he's 1 year into revitalizing his career, kind of like Baker Mayfield in Tampa, you know, over these last couple years. I think there will be a team out there that looks at him as, all right, we're going to draft a quarterback, especially this year. There's no quarterbacks to get genuinely excited about. I think this year he's a starter next year for a team that's still looking for their long-term answer.
Yeah, and I think there was a point this season where people thought that Sam Darnold was just going to be a starter for somebody. Like, he was going to get, at the very least, get the Baker Mayfield deal, like $30-35 million a year. I don't know he's going to get that now.
I'd say going into week 18, you might have felt that way.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe you'll look at the sum total of everything and think, all right, this was a really bad couple of games, but there's upside there.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. We're already getting texts. I still had PTSD from the 30-0 loss to Kansas City in the playoffs. Sir, you've been carrying that around for a while. That was 2015.
No, that's. I was actually kind of surprised that you said that you were kind of isolating it to just the most recent loss.
Well, just because that was in Arrowhead, it's the most recent. It was historically bad. It was 24-0. Yeah.
Yeah, there's cumulative trauma, though, man. You get shelled enough times in your life, all of a sudden you got shell shock.
Okay, so I was carrying that one, but not the 2015 one. This person is carrying a lot of KC PTSD. Lots of history to reverse. 2 Texans playoff losses, 2015 Astros, when they lost to the Royals.
Oh, good call.
And the last Oiler playoff
loss. Thanks a lot,
loss,
Ted Cruz.
The last Oiler playoff loss in 1993 when Joe Montana came back against Buddy Ryan's defense.
Mm.
That is a lot, man. You're carrying Oiler PTSD around with you. All right, we got
to reverse. We need to get a little Joe Montana voodoo doll or something and try to exorcise that demon.
Well, don't. If I wear my new Montana jersey that Chris Newton got me, don't use me as the voodoo doll.
Right. I forgot.
Yeah. Don't use me.
That's that Notre Dame jersey, though.
So. Yeah, it's a Notre Dame jersey. The interesting thing about the 1993 thing, that actually, there's actually a theme that plays into this game on Saturday. And this is Robert Hensley is the one who sent me this number, is that Patrick Mahomes is going to come into this game on Saturday having not played football in 23 days. The longest stint that a quarterback has gone before that into the playoffs without playing because of rest and things like and byes was Warren Moon in that very game.
What?
Yes.
That's crazy.
Isn't that wild?
How did he do?
He lost 28.
I know he lost, but just not to wish this, you know, what happened? Did he have a bad game?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I just Robert didn't send me the box score for that game. He just said Warren Moon lost the game.
Sometimes I assume you just have those stats memorized.
1993 playoff game. I wasn't living here at that point. If I was living here, I would have remembered it. I wasn't living here in 1993.
23 days of rust. So as that's accumulated up, has Pat Mahomes lost his sheen a little bit with all this rest? If so, I would encourage the Texans to take advantage of it in the first quarter.
Yes,
because I'm Pat Mahomes can shake off the rust right quick. Get it? If they can just really take it to him right from the get go. Right, and then obviously never sleep for 60 minutes, but whatever advantage you might have because of rust, take advantage of it ASAP.
I have a hot take. If they get a 24-0 lead in this game on Saturday, they're going to hold on and win. That's my hot take. Hey, man, they didn't do it last time. That's a bold take.
They're
0-1 in Arrowhead in the playoffs when building a 24-0 lead in the second quarter. 0-1. I think if they get it again, I think they're going to win
the game. It was 24-0?
24-0, Seth, and they were, this I remember, 24-0, and they were trailing at halftime. the Chiefs scored.
That's right. It wasn't even an unraveling in the second half.
No, there was Bill O'Brien not going for it on fourth down and kicking a field goal to make it 24-0. And then it was on, man. They got a good kickoff return, the Chiefs did. They had a DeAndre Carter fumble on a kickoff. They had the fake punt by Justin Reed. I remember it all, Seth. I remember
And then Bill O'Brien, you know, to try to right that ship and figure out, hey, how do we beat the Chiefs in the playoffs when their offense was able to come back from a 24-0 deficit? They let DJ Reader walk out the door. They did nothing to improve the defense. Oh, well, they signed Eric Murray. So this is a little bit of a redemption game for Eric Murray because Eric Murray was the one improvement they made. They paid Eric Murray like he was a starting outside cornerback, but still, Eric Murray is still here. He can redeem him. He can redeem Bill O'Brien for bringing in Eric Murray as the only thing to try to improve that defense.
Amen. Amen. All right. Texts are already rolling in. 713-572-4610. We'll get you guys. A lot of people weighing in on this game coming up this Saturday. We've got our – do we have our – Our disrespect for this game. The bye week comment by Rex Ryan was a bad thing for the Chargers. Do we have our comment from a talking head that gets posted on the wall and hopefully cigars smoked over it on Saturday night? We'll have that for you coming up next.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
We'll get the headlines in the next segment. There's coaching news. There's playoff football news. The Rockets, a big comeback in the fourth quarter last night that we'll get to. Congrats to them. Sweeping the Grizzlies over the last week. That's significant, man. Grizzlies are a good team. Good job by the Rockets. All right, last week it was Rex Ryan saying that the Los Angeles Chargers were on a bye. This week, is this what gets spread around the Texans' locker room?
Stephen A., who's more an upset alert, the Chiefs or Lions?
The Lions. And I only say that because I'm giving the Texans zero chance against the Chiefs.
Oh.
Zero. I mean, it was a nice season. You know, they've had a lot of injuries, and we get that. If Dell and Diggs and those brothers were available, I'd feel differently. But no, they don't have a chance against the Kansas City Chiefs. That's why I say that with the Commanders, we're sitting there raving about Jaden Daniels and how mercurial he is and what he has the potential to pull off and do, even though I expect the Lions to win this game. But you know what? This brother's something special. Not to say that C.J. Stroud is not, because I know that he is. But I think that when you look at the Houston Texans, I don't see them. I give them no chance of beating the Kansas City Chiefs this upcoming weekend. I give the Commanders a very, very slight chance because obviously all the injuries that the Detroit Lions have suffered, even though they're going to be at home, I just think that the Commanders have a better chance of winning than the Texans do.
What do you think?
All right, now he needs to learn something from a true broadcasting professional, Rex Ryan. If you want max clicks, you got to dress it up a little bit and say something like, well, the Chargers have a bye week.
Yeah, bye week.
That grabs the attention.
Next level, yeah.
That was, yeah, no chance to say, and obviously I'm joking, Stephen A. Smith been a broadcaster a lot longer than Rex Ryan. I'm a little disappointed, honestly, at the shade. Like, all he just kept saying is no chance, no chance, no chance. He needed to say something a little bit more creative. I expect more of Stephen A. Smith. And frankly, I feel disrespected by the lack of preparation,
lack of oomph in the disrespect.
Yes, that he put into it.
Yeah.
He just casually dismissed them by virtue of not even trying to creatively diss the Texans. No. I will not be disrespected by your lack of effort in your disrespect.
Is that disrespect cigar worthy if the Texans are able to pull off the upset? Are they smoking from a Stephen A. Smith pack?
Because what did Joe Mixon say? What did that guy say? A bye week. It's a bye week.
Yeah, yeah. And then he said, this is a Rex Ryan bye week pack that we're smoking off of here. Yeah.
We're going to have to do some deep dive. You and I might have to, you know, put on our black hats and come up with better disses for the Texans.
Yeah, yeah.
Something we can latch onto and then feed it. You've got a friend who's a producer for a big time national.
I do.
Let's feed him some insults because it's for the cause. Kind of like the way, you know, sometimes back before there was internet, coaches would sometimes fabricate quotes to get their team going. You know, they'd say like, "Oh, look, this you'll never believe what opposing coach in Pulteneyville said about us." He said that you guys wear your mother's underwear to practice. Something like that. Real misogynistic back in the day.
Sure.
You know?
Oh, yeah. You could get away with it back then. Yeah. Yeah. Did any of your coaches ever do that? Did you?
Yeah. My college coach did. He read a letter.
In the Ivy League?
I'm sorry, Sean. Is that not a tough enough league for you?
No, I'm just...
Compared to the one you played in? All right. I gotcha.
Cornell.
Okay.
No. I'm just like, I'm thinking like pre-internet, thinking of like quotes in the newspaper. You know, the Ivy League didn't get the coverage that say the SEC did back then.
There are newspapers everywhere, you know.
Yeah.
It's not just, they have newspapers and even in smaller college towns and whatnot.
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair.
So, yeah, now you gave me
some bulletin board material for myself. I feel like I just disrespected you. Yes.
You're like, in the eye? Oh, they write newspaper stories about those schools?
I know, that was bad.
Yeah, that was messed up.
I apologize. Well, I will say you went on to have a hell of a career in the NFL. Do you feel like the 10-year...
Thanks for that letter that my coach fabricated. Yeah, it sparked me.
Right.
He said he pulled up a newspaper and he said, these people say that Ithaca is too small to even have a newspaper. That's writer out of South Bend.
Yep. Stephen A, no chance the Texans are going to win. I will say this, the one thing the Texans win or lose against Kansas City, the one thing, like, I think that they've done a good job of here throughout the season, and I think that's the Charger game, that's the last home game we're going to get this season, is establishing NRG Stadium as a really difficult place for opposing teams to come in and play. Like, yeah. This is the biggest home field advantage. I know their record at home wasn't probably the best. It's, you know, they lost to the Lions, they lost to the Titans, they lost three games at home this year. They were 5-3 at home, which isn't a great record. You know, you don't, I'm guessing that most Super Bowl winning teams have a better home record than 5-3 at home. Mm-hmm. And yet I feel like they've done a really good job this season of reestablishing NRG Stadium as a home field advantage again.
Yeah, I think especially the other night. I mean, the pass rush built and mounted as the game went on. It got better and better. And they did a great job of selectively blitzing, but they got it done with a four-man pass rush. The crowd noise is a big part of that, I think. The biggest thing I worry about on the sum total of this matchup is just that I still don't believe in the Texans' offense. I think they did some nice things versus the Titans in a meaningless game where there were progressively more backups playing on the Titans' defense as the game went along.
Yeah.
Then you saw 2 1/3 quarters of really good offensive football by the Texans last week. There's not a solid foundation there yet. The biggest thing and the biggest difference, I think, is that, all right, the offensive line still has some big weaknesses and issues, and they still have a lot of blemishes, but I think there's more things they can do now. I think they have figured some things out in the run game, partly because Titus Howard, he's not a perfect guard. He still looks like he's playing out of position, and he has some really bad snaps, but he also has some really good snaps.
Yeah.
And there's some things they can lean into. That's the thing I'd look forward to in this game is, okay, how can this look different than the last one?
I would say, too, if Shaq Mason gets healthy, do not put him back in the lineup. Leave Juice Scruggs
in there.
Keep
the consistency as much as possible right now. Just keep it as it is.
Yep. Yeah. No doubt.
That's a good point. And it's not like Juice Scruggs is playing like an all-pro or anything, but there's been a little bit of consistency and a little taste of success.
Yeah, I think you just got to roll with these five guys and see where it goes. Kyle Brandt on Good Morning Football actually kind of highlighted what we were just talking about with the Texans at home. And, yeah, like the Texans not only reestablishing their home field advantage, but they've got a list of quarterback kills that's almost historic. Here's Kyle Brandt on Good Morning Football.
So you know what Herbert did? Herbert, the guy who does not throw interceptions and does not really get sacked, did all of them, worst he's ever done in his career. The Texans defense against Josh Allen this year, Josh Allen went 9 of 30 with an interception. It's arguably the worst game of his career, not his season. Jared Goff threw 5 interceptions. It's arguably the worst game of his career, not his season. Tua Tagovailoa, another franchise guy, 3 interceptions. The Dolphins scored 12 points. Arguably the worst game of his career. How about somebody totally different? A young guy, Anthony Richardson.
Okay.
Went 9 of 19 and checked himself out of the game against the Texans.
Yeah.
The worst game of his young career. Guys, the meme is not the Dragons or the Soldiers. It's about the Texans' defense, and it's that one where the Grim Reaper is walking down the hallway, opening each door, and like, you're dead, and you're dead, and you're dead, and they just went to the Chargers' door, and now they're going to the big red door in Kansas City, and they got that scythe. Like, this defense has made some of the best quarterbacks in our sport ever look ridiculous.
Okay, it's nice to see the national media catching up to just how good the Texans defense has been at home this year and what they've turned opposing quarterbacks into. The big caveat that I've not heard anybody mention outside of Houston and didn't hear Kyle Brandt mention it in that segment, because he goes on and on to talk about how Kansas City could be in trouble in this game. Mm-hmm. Those games were all at home. I just want to point, those games were all at NRG Stadium. The Texans have played good defense on the road. They haven't played that level of defense on the road.
They haven't played that level. And I think part of it, too, is I wonder, man, there is an element that the Texans' defense on the road, there's sometimes, man, there's only so many times that you can hold off an offense when you're on the road when they keep getting cracks at it and opportunities. And we've seen that at various times this year where the defense will be lights out, but then, man, given enough opportunities, Aaron Rodgers in the second half, it ends up having three really nice drives versus the Texans' defense. Like, the offense has to hold up their end of the bargain at some point. You just, you can't expect the Texans' defense to go out there for 12 series versus the Chiefs and shut them down every single time. I don't care who it is.
Yeah.
Like, that's just, it's not going to happen.
Tommy Townsend can't be punting eight times in this game on Saturday.
Right,
you know
right,
what I mean?
Right. So you got to sustain some drives. You got to do something to help the Texans' defense out with field position. But I, because other than that, I mean, on the road even, you know, you could point to the Packers game, for instance. It wasn't, I think you would get a better offensive performance there, and the scoreboard would have looked differently. The defense did some good things in that game. It's just that there wasn't a lot going on the other side of the ball.
No, CJ had under 100 yards passing in that game. That was a tough one, man. That was rough.
Is that frowned upon?
Generally speaking, under 100 yards passing, not approved.
Modern NFL. Sorry, Sean. I just went to a small college. I don't know.
This is going to come back.
I never had access to box scores until I got to Florida in 1990.
I was shocked you didn't bring up that Kyle Brandt went to Princeton after I played that audio right there.
It's amazing he's made it this far in life.
I know. Yeah.
You know, small town like Princeton, New Jersey. You would have thought he was illiterate. Apparently.
Well, let's
according
see.
According to Sean T. Pendergast.
Let's see. Let's see if he makes it through this next cut here. With complete sentence structure and syntax. Here was Kyle Brandt on the Texans.
He did pronounce it scythe instead of sieve.
Yeah.
So,
see?
What are you going to get out of a Princeton guy?
A bunch of meatheads. Yeah. here's Kyle Brandt saying the Texans could give Kansas City trouble.
It is an incredible run that they have had this year. And it's the Texans. The market might be a little sleepy, and they played some poor football, and they got hammered by Baltimore. Mm-hmm. So everyone was on the Chargers. Even Las Vegas was on the Chargers. But then you watch this defense, and you're like, oh, my God, I think they could go to Arrowhead and flip the table. They are that good, and it's not a one-time special. C.J. Stroud did not play well for a lot of this year. The defense has been crushing dudes all season long, and not just this guy or that guy, not the sleepy little AFC South. I'm talking about the big ones, like the big dogs. They've taken them out. They took out Herbert, and now they got the biggest dog of all coming. Texans defense with the scythe. Watch out.
Did it again.
The biggest thing, I'm guessing that's one of those words you can pronounce both ways. I think that the thing that maybe people don't mention enough, and I would include myself in this, but especially people that wouldn't have been watching the Texans closely, is that you've got two rookies starting in your secondary. One of the reasons the Texans have as many turnovers as they do is because those two rookies have played magnificently. But you have to remember that, all right, you look at the stats, the Texans defense has been really, really good. The sum total of it on the season was that they weren't an elite defense. Mm-hmm. They allowed too many big passing plays. They were one of the worst in the league allowing passing touchdowns. But what are you going to get out of a young defense? You're going to get some inconsistency.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden at the end of the year, those two guys are veterans and they're playing like veterans, other than, you know, again, Kalen Bullock, rookie, just should have been able to make a play on the ball that ended up being a Ladd McConkey touchdown. Yep. He kind of made a rookie mistake. But those guys are playing differently than they did certainly at the beginning of the season and for much of the regular season. They've just become better veteran players. And then you have the health in the front seven, although we're still not quite sure about exactly what's going on with Christian Harris. But the defensive line was healthy. It was a really good defense during the regular season. They may be right at that point where they're elevating themselves to elite defense. They played like an elite defense in the first playoffs game versus the Chargers. This is obviously a huge, huge, huge test. Unlike the quarterback they faced with the Chargers, Justin Herbert, Pat Mahomes He has some good quarter. He has some good playoff
performances. He's made good play. Yeah. I've seen him make good plays in the postseason before.
I've heard speak of it.
I've heard stories.
When I've been able to grab a newspaper from somebody who's traveling through town.
Right,
yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Nick, someone says Nick Wright.
Some rich man has given me one as a tip for shining his shoes.
I'm never going to live this down. I need Wednesday to get here.
Is that guy on stilts?
Fair. Okay, we don't have time to explain that one. Thank God. Someone said on the text page, Nick Wright will have some good bulletin board material for the Texans to have. Here's the thing, Nick already did. Lopez.
That skinny little bastard.
Lopez tweeted out yesterday how excited he was. He copied me on it. He's like, I'm echoing what Sean Pendergast tweeted. I'm so excited about the show today, and here's why. Like, you're getting people pumped up for the Monday show, right?
Yeah.
And Nick replies to it, and he's like, doesn't matter. Chiefs are going to cook you all this week or something like that.
Oh,
here's Nicky. The thing. Here's the thing about Nick's disrespect. He's a Chiefs fan. Like, so I can't – like, Stephen A. doesn't have a dog in the fight. Like, I expect Nick to come in with the Chiefs are going to kill you. Chiefs are 6-0 in the divisional round. I think he had another tweet later where he called it, like, the Patrick Mahomes warm-up round or something like that. Like, these are his scrimmages before he gets ready for the real season, the AFC title game. So like Nick, I can't take his shade and put it in the same category of disrespect like Rex Ryan and Stephen A. Smith. You know, like he's a card carrying Chiefs fan. That's what he's supposed to do.
So are many other Chiefs fans who have grown insufferable though these past several years.
Yeah,
they're hypersensitive. They are incredibly vigilant for anything they perceive as a slight against the integrity of their team or the greatness that is Pat Mahomes and everything else like that. They need a little bit of a comeuppance is what they do.
That would be nice.
No matter any Kansas City Chiefs fan who's ever been or is associated with Sports Radio 610. Time for a little comeuppance.
The Texans will have America behind them on Saturday. I feel strongly about that.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
America, it's a hell of a country.
We need to lean into the love.
Yeah.
The various reasons that people almost guilt them into really, really pulling for the Texans.
Yes, guilt.
Do the Chiefs feel like an evil empire yet?
They're getting there.
The way you think so?
If they three-peat, they're an evil empire. It's never happened in the history of the league. So
But as far as the hatred for the organization, because people hated the Patriots, I still don't sense that people really hate the Chiefs the way they
not to that level, not to the Patriot level, but because the Chiefs don't. I mean, they do have the whole like narrative about the refs going on that doesn't help.
Yeah,
Taylor
it's
is probably
different than being caught like in an actual like
Taylor
scandal.
Taylor Swift is hurting more than she's helping right now when it comes to the love of the Chiefs.
She's divisive, I guess.
Yeah.
It's probably good for they've gained a lot of women age 15 to 34, but they've also kind of put off other people.
The way they won that Super Bowl with that phantom holding call against the Eagles a couple years ago, I think still sticks in the craw of a lot of people. You know,
Though
it was the Eagles who aren't really well liked either. So we'll talk about it. We got all week to talk about that for sure. Headlines coming up next. Playoffs are set. Rockets big comeback. Man, the Rockets are fun. We'll get into all that in headlines. Ross Tucker joining us at the top of the hour. That's all coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, headlines. The NFL playoffs, they are set. Monday Night Football last night. We'll get to that in just a second. D'Amico Ryans met with the media yesterday, and he talked about the tough challenge ahead with the Kansas City Chiefs.
We're excited about the opportunity we have. We understand what's in front of us. Great team. KC has done a great job for the past few years of really dominating the league, being there at the end. They have great coaching staff, great players, great team all the way across the board. So it's a really tough challenge for us. We're excited about the opportunity we have versus KC. We know it's a tough team to beat, right? It's going to take everything that we have. It's going to take all four quarters. Similar to our last game, we just have to stay the course, remain persistent throughout the game, and find a way to win in those critical moments.
So D'Amico was probably at his most like kind of coach speak, milk toast, not saying anything all that jarring or rattling yesterday,
mm-hmm.
Which is kind of what the approach he took last week, and yet – The fact that the players afterwards were talking about Rex Ryan saying that the Chargers had a bye week and all of that, I wonder what's brewing. I wonder there's a certain anger. There's a certain anger level after that game that I like to see. And I think some of that just comes naturally because of the types of guys they have on defense. But Joe Mixon offensively, that's the one. I think D'Amico talked about Joe Mixon's leadership, and a lot of the players talked about Joe Mixon as a leader after that game. And you just see, he's a primetime guy. Like, he's not going to back down from any kind of a fight. That's the guy that, as awesome as D'Amico is, Joe Mixon's that kind of guy that's got kind of an infectious enthusiasm and attitude. And I think it is part of, like, maybe really helping this offense turn the corner. You know who was telling CJ all year long that he needs to run more was Joe Mixon.
That's right.
And CJ, after that botched fumble play, he started taking the easy opportunities. You're facing a quarterback, Pat Mahomes, who takes those easy opportunities to run. And I think for CJ, who's been trying really, really hard to become a NFL passer, I think sometimes there's almost a hesitancy because you don't want to take the easy money. You want to do it the hard way. You know these stubborn young men? They always want to do things the hard way. And sometimes, as an old guy, sometimes you're always telling the youngs, you got to work harder. There's some kids that you got to tell, like, hey, man, it's not lazy to take the easy way if it's the right way sometimes.
That's right.
CJ, understanding when to run, when to take the easy money, when to check it down, I think maybe he turned a corner in that regard.
Well, if you rewatch that play, the 27-yard scramble, there, I don't know who the defender was for the Chargers, but there was a defender who looked like he was just kind of taking it easy and didn't expect CJ to be moving at that clip. Like, he just sailed past the guy. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I was listening to John and Mark after we were done yesterday when I was in the car, and I thought Johnny made an interesting point. And Johnny would know, he's down on the sidelines. He hears that crowd as much as anybody does. And he said, man, that scramble by CJ, and this is what it felt like in the building too, up in the press box, like that scramble by CJ seemed to fire the crowd up even more, and maybe even fire CJ up even more than the play to Hutchinson right before that, because the Hutchinson play was the last play before the 2-minute warning, so it was kind of a cooling off period after it, whereas the CJ scramble play was totally unexpected. We've never, ever seen that out of him as a Texans quarterback. Like, the longest scramble he's had all year is probably like 10 or 12 yards and he runs out of bounds.
Yeah.
That one, he's running past guys and he's not even sliding. He's going to his knees, whatever that was. And he got up and he's pounding his chest, you know?
I wonder with CJ too, because he hasn't run a whole bunch, I wonder if there's a little bit of a confidence level there where...
Well, I can do this.
I would think... Because, like, Mahomes runs really well, but it's not like he's an electrifying athlete. He's just really, really smart about where he takes his opportunities.
Yep.
So it's not like he's running super fast. He's just really savvy about understanding where the opportunities are, and then he uses the athleticism he does have. I haven't looked at 40 times or anything like that. They seem like about similar athletes.
I agree.
And I think maybe with CJ, that is part of his development, is maybe trusting that, look, you are athletic enough to do this.
Yeah.
I know everybody, sometimes you have to tell young defensive linemen this, especially the lighter skin toned ones. Listen, I know everybody's been calling you a plugger your whole life and you're a blue collar lunch pail guy, but no, you're actually a really good athlete. Like, play like an athlete.
Yeah.
And with CJ, I wonder if people have been trying to tell him for so long, like, well, you're not that athletic, you can't improvise and all this, that maybe a little too much of it has seeped into his subconscious.
Tell him to watch the Georgia game again. That
the
playoff
unconscious
game.
Bias, like, that's one of the biggest problems with unconscious bias is that we direct it towards ourselves as well.
Yep.
And he might have just heard it enough and seen it enough that he doesn't understand that he's more athletic than maybe he gives himself credit for.
All right, two big headlines in the NFL. One, the playoffs are set. Minnesota gets destroyed by the Rams last night, 27-9. We'll talk about that later in the show. We've not talked about this yet. How about Deion Sanders and Jerry Jones chatting about the Cowboys head coaching opening? You were the first one that I remember bringing up Deion as a possibility for the Cowboys way back, like, at the beginning of this season.
Yeah, and I'm sure other people. I mean, it's a natural, obviously, him having played there and everything, and then given Jerry's penchant for publicity.
Yeah. No, I'm just talking about for me. Like, you were the first one that I heard, like, that got into my conscience bringing it up, like, oh, yeah, like, that's a definite, distinct possibility.
It was almost, I think, the first time that I thought, oh, for sure, is when Deion adamantly said he didn't want to coach in the NFL.
There you go.
And I was like, oh. That's really good negotiating for, say, an owner that might be willing to pay $25 million a year for a head coach. And I feel like that's Jerry Jones.
Okay, what do you think is more likely? Deion Sanders is the head coach of the Cowboys, or Deion Sanders gets a fat extension from Colorado?
Ooh, boy. He would get a fat extension from Colorado, but it's not going to be as much as Jerry Jones can pay him.
Right.
And right. At the root of it all, Deion Sanders is a much better football coach than people wanted to give him credit for. But he's also an incredible business person. So I think Cowboys. Yeah. I think Jerry Jones is just going to see. He's going to have so big dollar signs in his eyes, and just he's going to love all of the attention that Deion Sanders is going to bring to the Cowboys. And also as a nice little add-on for Jerry, he might be a really good coach too.
Yeah.
You know, like, but Jerry doesn't care about that as much. He likes the dollar signs. But he also but Deion's no beta male.
Dude.
You know, Deion ain't gonna just take marching orders.
No, like,
can Jerry stomach a guy that isn't just gonna jump when Jerry says jump?
Can you imagine being the poor guy that has to come into Colorado after Deion Sanders? Can you imagine being a head coach after Deion Sanders at Colorado?
It's going to seem so boring.
So milktoast, man. Like, it's, yeah. Like,
it's going to be like a Ritz cracker after you've been eating shortbread.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Rockets win last night, 120-118. Huge comeback in the fourth quarter. They were down 13 points with less than 10 minutes to go in the game.
It was intense.
It was intense.
That was a great fourth quarter. Yeah, that was a lot of fun, man. This, you know, second in the Western Conference,
yeah,
everybody.
Man, yeah.
Back in our dojo.
Yeah, well, and we're getting to the point in the season where it's like, okay, no, they're like, this is not a 20-game sample size anymore.
This is a tough stretch of schedule coming up, too.
Yeah.
I don't think they play at home until June.
Yeah.
So this will be a big test. Yep. This is a proving ground up here in the next couple weeks.
All right. Ross Tucker. He is on the Texans game this weekend on the radio with Kevin Harlan.
Is?
Yes.
Ooh.
Westwood won. So that's a nice team right there, Kevin Harlan.
They have radio in Kansas City?
They do.
It's good for them.
They better. Now, we'll get it locally here with Mark Vandermeer and Andre Ware. So we're good. We're set already. But the rest of the nation, they're getting Ross Tucker and Kevin Harlan. And we get Ross Tucker coming up next. He's our Odyssey NFL insider. Stay there.